Okay, the last time I preached, I had slides and I left my USB behind, and so I thought, okay, we should have one lying around the house somewhere. And I started to do it, but it just looked gruesome because I kind of like draw on, you know, current affairs. But unless you've been living under a rock in the past two weeks, you know, you're going to know exactly what's going on in the world. Whether it's the coronavirus or the coronavirus is, you know, covering up the effects of 5G, who knows? We don't know. But it has changed the world, the entire world. This is a major event. Liberties are going to be impinged upon. Men's hearts are already fainting and failing, and we haven't even got to the big stuff yet that's spoken of in Revelation. In Matthew 24, it's these things, you know, the pestilences and the wars and rumours of wars and earthquakes and pestilences, they're the start of sorrows. And, you know, we are called by God to be salt and light. And it's no point us all running around being fearful. So, you know, like Pastor Dave said, we need to be vigilant. Whatever's within our control, we need to boost our immune system with vitamin C. I make my own liposomal vitamin, make Dean drink it every day. Our personal hygiene, we've been doing foot taps at work and elbows to greet one another. And, you know, our travel's going to be restricted, and we need to restrict our travel as well. We've got to. So if we're less vulnerable, we're going to be less panicky. We're not going to be reacting. We are going to be prepared. You know, we've got to be prepared for economic disruption. And when people panic, you can't purchase rolls, as we all know. And food and restocking on your medical supplies and things like that. Toiletries to get through these times of disruption. And it kind of, you can see now, it's sort of like as the world, as the God's plan is unfolding and the events of the world are unfolding, it's like the jigsaw puzzle and each little piece is being put in. And as it gets closer to the time when Jesus is going to come and return for a pure and spotless bride, you know, these things that you're going to see. Like if you'd asked us maybe last year if anything like this would ever happen, you would think that it was like something out of a Hollywood movie. And but there you go. You know, in Galatians 6, it says that a loaf of bread will cost a day's pay. You know, there's going to be price gouging and all sorts of things going on with the supply chain disrupted. So, but we can't allow that to that fear to overwhelm us. So we've got to be spiritually prepared. And that's really what I want to speak on this morning. So haven't prayed yet, have I? So let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we give you glory. We thank you, Father, that you are the Lord of hosts. Lord, you come to our aid and that right early, Father God. Lord, we sung this morning, all glory and honor and power belongs to you, Lord God. And we declare that today, Lord God, that you are sovereign over every situation that we find ourselves in. Father, I submit myself under your mighty hand this morning, Lord, to be able to preach a word in season, Lord, that would strengthen the hearers, Father God, that would bring about change, Lord God, that would help us, Father God, to be equipped for the times that we are finding ourselves in, Father God. So unstop our ears, prepare our hearts, Father God, and have your way, Lord, this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, so whether or not, you know, we're going to be, whether it's the 5G, the coronavirus, and, you know, people are going to be affected. Bad things happen to good people, you know, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. We've got to trust in God, but we've got to overcome the fear of death, don't we? Like, if it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, we've been baptized into his death in order that, you know, we can live a new life in him. That's really where we are. So why should we be afraid? We've got the scriptures, know what's going to happen in the last days, and God is not going to leave us, but we need to be able to overcome that fear, because first of all, I wanted to sort of strengthen us. In Hebrews chapter 2, so maybe if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there because I don't have any slides today. Hebrews chapter 2. These scriptures are talking about Jesus, that everything was subject to him, that nothing is outside of his control. It starts in verse 5, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor and placed everything under his feet. God subjected all things to him. He left nothing outside of his control. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death so that by the grace he might taste death for everyone." In verse 14 to 15, "Now since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, and that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Okay, so Jesus has already died for us. We need not be worried about that. It says, better to be afraid of him who can kill both body and soul. So we need not to be worried about that. In John 14, 1 to 6, do you want to get that? John 14, verse 1 to 6. Maybe if someone can just put their hand up when they've got it, so then I know how close you are. Thanks, Dave. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not tell you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where you go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you go, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You know, we've had a couple of our brothers go to be with the Lord just in the past few months. We've lost our brother Mario and Peter. That's where they are. We need not to be afraid of dying, people. Psalm 23. I think everyone should know this off by heart. Psalm 23, verse 4. "Even though through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When I was preparing this word, I initially it was judgment and being injustice, you know, God's way, you know, what we're doing to do the right thing, you know, walk righteously and upright, and was started off with that. Anyway, I'll just share a little bit of a testimony. The beginning of the week, while I was preparing and I've been fasting and praying, Dean came home and said something to me that kind of upset me a little bit. And I felt fearful of like a backlash. And I said to him, "Honey, don't you realise I'm preaching this Sunday? You know, it's spiritual warfare. You know, and it didn't help because I overreacted to what he'd... And so anyway, that fear entered my heart and I found it so difficult. It was like the heavens were brass. I felt oppressed. I had no direction and where I was going, because like I say, I talk about justice and judgment. You know, in Micah it says, "Oh, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To love mercy, to do justice and walk humbly before your God." And so that was my scripture, and I was getting all that. And do you know, so hard. It was so difficult. I felt sick. I slept for hours and hours during the day. I slept in during and the next day. I would have slept maybe 10 hours, and I still did not feel well. Excuse me a minute. So anyhow, he felt bad because he knew that he'd upset me, and this is the reason. And I wasn't trying to get mileage. I was just trying to overcome, and I was praising God and I was praying and I was speaking in tongues and I was doing this all through the day, and it was just hopeless. I was just getting nowhere. Excuse me. On Thursday I usually go to golf. And I thought, this is hopeless. I've got to sacrifice my golf day because I've still got nothing. And so we had our quiet time together, and Dean just really saw how labouring. So he stopped and he started to pray for me. And I had to confess to the Lord my fear of backlash, that, you know, had the words that had been spoken. And it was a release for me. I was able to then, and then I felt right again. Then I felt full of vim and vigour and energy, and I was back on track. And I thought to myself later, I think that happened to me so that I can minister to you guys. Because we forget about the spiritual realm and how it impacts on us. And if things, if we are outside of God's will, or if we're not fellowshipping, if we don't have that communion, if there's no agreement, if we're not walking in agreement, if there's a little bit of disharmony, just a little bit. I mean, this was slight. This wasn't big. This was not big. And so, well, yes, I'll carry on with that. And the Lord said to me, I've already told you the word that I had for you to share. And it was kind of going, moving on from when I preached in December, in the 9th of December. And I was talking about rebuilding the old places. And we didn't really get very far because, you know, there was a lot to do. So this is part two, if you like. Okay, so we got part two. But I just wanted to share with you the importance of we're fettered and we're weighed down with our sin and our iniquity and we're not walking. How are we going to be light and salt to the people around us where hearts of men are failing? You know, they're panicking, they're buying up everything and fighting in the aisles, toilet rolls and goodness knows what else. And so we need to be strengthened, and we are ambassadors for the Lord. And so I understand that things happen, that people upset you, all sorts of, you know, trauma happens. Don't forget, I work for the Department for Child Protection, and I see the outworkings of hurt and abuse and neglect day every time I'm at work. So it does impact us. And so the Lord wants us to arise and shine. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He's given me to preach good tidings to the poor, to set at liberty those who are captive, you know, those that mourn, you know, beauty for our oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness. And this is really where I'm getting at. I'm wanting us to be walking in that. And at the same time, while I was preparing the word, I understood how difficult it is to, because you have a responsibility to be ministering to the congregation. And I feel the full weight of that when I'm up here, because I've got to give an account to God for how I walk, for every idle word I've spoken. So, you know, I've got to make sure that I've got everything all tucked in nicely. I mean, my hair's not that great. But you know, we do have to be walking, you know, like circumspectly, wise, you know, redeeming the time, because we know the days are evil. And I don't want to go, and I, you know, I've had teaching in the past about women preaching in the church, and so that goes that doctrine, and you know, so I've really had to grapple. And it actually, I had this great, I wanted Pastor Dave, because how much does he labour in the word for us? Every week he faithfully comes, you know, apart when we're up here, other people, but he faithfully ministers the word of God to us. You know, I wanted to read a few scriptures. And even like, he's even wanting to prepare us, because spiritually with this deep discipleship course that's going on, you know, and it's almost like he's listening to what God is saying, because we do need to be equipped. We need to be getting deeper and really applying the word of God to our lives so that we're not fake. You know, we've got to be real. We really have to be real. If God is God, worship him. You know, you've got to be sold out now. It's at a critical moment in history. You know, we can, you know, at times in the past it says that God winked at that, at the ignorance. But we can't be ignorant anymore. And so I just want to honour and acknowledge Pastor Dave for his diligence in leading the church and labouring in the word faithfully. In 1 Timothy 5:17 it says, let the elders that rule well, be counted worthy of double honour, especially those that labour in the word and doctrine. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to 13. But we ask you, brothers, to acknowledge those who work diligently among you, who preside over you in the Lord and give you instruction. In love, hold them in the highest regard because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Hebrews 3:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a, and for that would be of no benefit to you. And then in Psalm 105:15 it says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. So I think we need to give Pastor Dave the double honour and really give weight to how he is leading us as a fellowship. And I just want to say thank you, Pastor Dave, for, you know, the way that you have done that diligently. And we've benefited so much, and you've been a great example. And I want to prepare us spiritually. So let's prepare spiritually. We've got to clear the rubble and have a good conscience. In 1 Timothy 1:19, maybe we could go and check that one out. 1 Timothy 1:19. It says, fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and thereby shipwrecked faith. A good conscience. So we've got to have a good conscience. And it shipwrecked their faith. If we don't have a good conscience, it will shipwreck our faith. We will continue on in iniquity and justify our standpoint. If we've been backbiting and taught our pastor behind his back or any other pastor, you know, that's going to affect us because they have to work hard. Hebrews 12:1-3, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We've got to keep running the race with endurance. We're going to experience shame because of our belief in Christ and the things that we stand for, and we don't, you know, Jesus has already done it for us. He is the perfecter of our faith, and it says for the joy that was set before him. Yet when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had sweat coming down like blood. You know, Father, if it is all possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. And I don't think that we realize that, you know, we're going to have to really set these encumbrances away from us that are hindering us from being from running this with perseverance. I don't think we realize how important it is at this stage in the game. I really don't think we understand that. We've got to do it. In Hebrews 12:12, verse 12-15, it says, therefore, strengthen your limp hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that the lame may not be debilitated but rather healed. Pursue peace with all men as well as holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Be careful that no one falls short of the grace of God so that no root of bitterness will spring up to cause trouble and defile many. See to it that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau who for a single meal sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he was to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could find no ground for repentance, though he sought the blessing with tears. So we don't want to harden our hearts. You know, we really need to allow that grace God gives us to. So like it says, be careful that no one falls short of the grace of God so that no root of bitterness will spring up. Now, a word about bitterness. It does defile a lot of people. I know I've experienced it, And I don't think as Christians we really give weight to the power of it. It says, you know, that we are to forgive our brother while we're in the way with him. You know, all these scriptures. And it says that we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. You know, when you're angry, it says, be angry and don't sin. You know, if you're angry, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, there's so many scriptures that remind us that we need to deal with conflict and in the correct way. God has a pattern, and we've got to do it God's way. We can't go and do things and fumble around. You know, there's a prescribed way to deal with offences and all that kind of thing. You know, look, even if you remember the Lord's Prayer, it says, you know, forgive us our trespasses as you forgive those that trespass against us. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, like it's every day we've got to be doing. And so, you know, and he says, you know, if you bring your gift before the altar and remember that your brother's got something against you, leave that, because you're not going to make any progress. You're going to be like the children of Israel walking around that mountain again and putting it off because you're resisting God's grace, because it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good when Christians, you know, it says one of the seven things that God hates, and that's he who sows discord among the brothers. You know, like it's a very real thing that God hates. And so, you know, while we have opportunity, I think we need to deal with it. We've got to be, and the way that you do that is you've got to, rather than see, you know, the plank in your brother's eye, you've got to say, okay, well, what part did I play in this? What part did I play? You know, never mind about what that person has done. How did I react? Did I react badly? You know, maybe I could have, you know, given grace, shown mercy. Because we are all struggling in our walk. You know, there's things, God wants to perfect us through our sufferings. And if you resist the suffering, you're going to resist the process. You are not going to be mature. You're just going to be tossed to and fro by the wind, every wind of doctrine. You're going to be unstable in all your ways. You're going to have no wisdom, and you're not going to be able to save the lost that are out there, because that is our mission. Co-mission with God is to go into the world, make disciples of all nations, preaching the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. So, you know, we've got, and that's doing anything, because we're all bound up, we're lame, you know, we've got weak knees, you know, we've got no strength, and we're fearful. A little bit about fear. In 1 John 4:17-18, maybe you can look it up. 1 John 4:17-18. And it says, in this way, love has been perfected among us so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. For in this world, we are just like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love without fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears has not been perfected in love. So we've got to allow God's love to cover over the sins, to heal us, you know, and then confident on the day of judgment. Because, you know, God forbid, if we're not right with him and we have got these things in the background that need dealing with, what happens if we lose our life today and we get, well, God, we're going to be in a little bit of strife, because he says that he's going to judge us on the word, and the things, you know, those things that are covered over will be covered. But, you know, that's why I'm wanting to encourage you to get these things fixed. So while I was meditating on some of the things in particular, so there were three things that we're going to focus on today. It's bitterness, the root of bitterness, the sexual immorality, and broken promises. So in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 4 to 5, it says, if someone swears thoughtlessly with his lips, do anything good or evil, in whatever manner a man rashly pronounces an oath, even if he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, he is guilty in the matter. It says, if someone incurs guilt in one of these ways, he must confess the sin that he's committed. I made a vow rashly to the Lord about giving up alcohol. And I really meant it. And anyway, I've lapsed. And so I spoke to Dean about it. And there's an out clause for me. Scriptures that says, you know, but if a woman makes a rash decision, rash vow, and a husband lets her off, so he let me off. I was so lucky with that. But I mean, I don't want to be flippant about vows. You know, we men make vows to, you know, to protect their wives. You know, we make a vow to love, you know, till death us do part. And sometimes we make rash vows and it can impact on our lives. And so I think that it would be good if we maybe just focused on these three areas this morning. Last time I preached, I kind of just got you all to stand up and I just said a prayer and then I said to Pastor David, I didn't really want to have a line where, you know, we would have people come up and be prayed for. But I actually realised when Dean had to pray for me on Thursday morning that sometimes he's so oppressed with, you know, those things, and it's a spiritual realm and it can overwhelm us. And so we have got our hands hanging down. You know, we do have these weak knees, and so we do have people praying for us. But there's a process that has to, you know, like you can't just come up here and say, oh, can you pray for me, and that's it. You know, there's something that you need to do as well. So what is the process that God has prescribed to be cleansed from all sin? Well, obviously, the first one's repent and confess. And then there's renouncing. We've got to renounce, you know, the works of darkness and the things that we have done. We've got to ask God for forgiveness. And we've got to claim back the ground that has been given up or stolen from the enemy. And then we've got to allow the Lord to heal us and cleanse us so that he can restore our souls. Like in, you know, in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. Because that's where all our hurts are. They're in our soul. Our spirits are alive because of Christ, if we've trusted in him. Our souls have been impacted, and they can really hinder us and weigh us down. You know, the cares of the world weigh us down. Yeah, that's where I'm up to. How are we going for time? Pretty good. So how's everyone travelling? Are we happy to, what do you think, Pastor Dave? Do you think we should have everyone, like, just where they are? Maybe if there's anything that, you know, like if you've got some unforgiveness towards someone, that you, just where you are, you repent of that. You confess that you've had this unforgiveness towards a person and that you ask God to forgive you, bless that person, and then allow the Lord to minister to you, minister to your heart. You know, let's be practical. Let's get some things done, because if I preach to you today and then you go home, you probably won't do it. You'll be distracted by something else. So now that I've got you all in here, you're kind of stuck. You're trapped. And it's for your benefit, because we're wanting to see you all flourish. We're wanting to see you strengthened. And we're wanting to see you walk in that freedom, in that liberty. And that, you know, so that you have a good conscience. That you've got a clear conscience. And it's the only way you can be. It, you know, like with Micah in chapter 6, verse 8, you know, it was, here's your man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To love mercy, so you've got to be merciful to those that have offended you, to do justice, to do the right thing. Got to do the right thing, the way that he prescribed it, and walk humbly with our God. You know, like, the Lord will resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And, you know, and it's not a feeling, it's an act of your will. You've just got to decide, okay, this list of things that this person has done, but I'm going to humble myself. I'm not going to justify it anymore. I'm not going to justify my behaviour and the way that I've been handling it. And you know, and calling it, it's almost like it's the Lord from blessing us, you know, so that we can walk in that newness of life. And I'm pretty sure, like, I hated the feelings that I had. For those 3 days, I had this heaviness, I had this oppression, and I'm pretty sure you people don't like that feeling. And so we need rescuing. And Jesus has already done it. He said he's seated at the right hand of the Father. It is finished. He's done it. But we've got to appropriate everything that Jesus has done on the cross. We've got to. We can't just look at the grace stuff and the end. God loves me and not see His judgment, because we've got to give an account. It's got to be in a balance. You know, you swing around. You're flying around with one arm lame. You know, I really, really would like you to think about that. So maybe I'll lead you all in a prayer and we'll do that. And also the you know, just not giving Pastor Dave the glory too, you know, and the honor, that double honor. I would like to, you know, have even, you know, had a little, you know, like sometimes that familiarity can breed contempt, and we don't give them honour. We would never talk to our fathers like some of the, I've heard some people talk to Pastor Dave, and it's not good. So there's a couple of things. So there's that, whoever that applies to, the bitterness, the sexual immorality, and the brokenness. Okay, so maybe everyone can stand. Because we want to run this race. We don't want to be disqualified, do we? We don't want to be disqualified. We want to run the race and finish and get the prize. We've been running already. You've got to keep running. Just keep running. Just keep running. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So maybe with everyone's eyes closed, thank you, Lord. Mighty God. Father, there's been a lot that's been discussed this morning, Father. We want to honour you because you are a holy God. And Lord, we know that one day we're going to have to give an account for the way we've lived our lives. And Lord, we don't want to resist the grace that you give, Lord God, when there is kingdom, Father God. Lord, we don't want to go hunting for things, but Lord, each heart knows. It says in your word, Lord God, that each heart knows the sin that it has, Lord God, and the hurt and all those things. And the Father, Lord, this morning I really my heart is, Lord God, that my brothers and sisters, Lord God, might be able to stand firm, that they might be able to, that you would strengthen those things which are lame, that they would be able to lift up the hands that hang down. Everyone, just lift up your hands this morning. To the Lord, lift up your hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees, Father God. Oh, yamate shitik yamata. Father God, Lord, let that we would not resist the grace you give, Lord God. Oh, yenemata shitik yamata. Father, this morning, Lord God, when you have brought to our remembrance and brought to our the forefront of our minds, Lord God, the things that we need repent of, the things that we need to renounce, Lord God, the things that we need cleansing and healing from, Lord God. And Father, this morning, as we are standing before you, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that each heart, Lord, would be able to repent and confess and renounce, Lord, those things that you are putting your finger on. Holy Spirit, have your way with the congregation this morning, Lord God. Father, they would not look at me, but Lord, that they would see, Father God, that it's your Holy Spirit, Lord, bringing things to remembrance, Father God. Let them not, Lord God, resist, Father. While that grace is there, Father God, Jesus' name. Lord, we confess to you our bitterness. Lord God, give us, Father, for that root of bitterness that we've allowed to defile us, Lord God, and that it has defiled lots of other people, Lord God. Father, I pray that you'd bind up that spirit of bitterness, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, that you would take the sword of the Spirit and sever the God. Lord, I pray that you would do the work that needs to be done, Father God, that there might be healing and deliverance, Lord God, in that area, Father, that they would no longer be oppressed. Lord, that you would open the doors of the prison gates, Lord God. Your word says that you let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke, Lord God, that you remove every burden, heavy burden, Father God. Loosen the bands of wickedness, Father God, that have grown around the minds, Lord God, those high places, Father God, that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, Father. Oh, Lord, and that you'd bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, Father God. Lord, I thank you that the weapons of our warfare are all, but they're mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds, Lord God, and those strongholds of bitterness, those strongholds of anger, Father God, and that hurt, and where they've just resisted your grace, Father God. I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would break its power, in the name of Jesus, and remove it from your congregation, Father. Lord, let your healing come. Let your precious wind, the wind of your spirit, blow through, and the flame burn up the dross, Father. And Lord God, that your healing balm, Lord, would come. Sister, you'd cleanse the minds, Lord God, where that is defiled, Father God. Lord, that you would claim back all the ground that has been given up to the enemy, Father, that has been stolen from the enemy in that area, Father God, in Jesus' name. And restore their souls, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. And we bless those people. We bless only. It says curse, not only bless. Lord, bless those people. Just while you're there, just bless the people that you've been angry with. Bless them. And Jesus, thank you, Lord. You are sovereign. Lord, we want to come under your mighty hand, Father God, and not, Lord God, be subject to that, Lord, any longer, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Mighty God. Lord, I bring to you, Father God, where, Lord, we repent, Father God, of speaking against, Lord, the pastors that we've been under, Father God. I stand before you, just stand in the gap and ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, Father God, where we have done that, where we have not given honour, Lord God, especially double honour to those that have laboured in the word, Father. Lord God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we renounce, Lord, ever speaking your anointed, Lord God. Even David wouldn't bring a railing against Saul, Lord God. And he said, when Saul died, he said, tell it not in Gath. You know, he did not brag about that, Lord God. And so, Father, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord, where we have said, spoken words and curses over our pastors and those in authority over us in your church, because, Lord, that is your divine order, Father God. So, Lord God, I pray that you would break that curse, Lord, over all the pastors, Lord God. Father, they would be strengthened with might, Lord, that they would lead the flock and they would be happy. It would be a joy, Lord God. Father, that we would support them, Father God, in all that they do, Lord, because we know that they've got to give an account to you, Lord God. Father, even as we have to give an account. So, Lord God, forgive us, cleanse us, wash us. Lord, where we have been maybe hurt, Lord, from spiritual abuse, Lord God, I pray that you would claim back all that ground that has been stolen, Lord. And minister your love, your grace, and your mercy, because, Lord, your word says, vengeance is mine, that you will repay, Father God, and you are the judge. And, Lord, where there has been, Lord, unwise counsel, Lord, from pastors and that have hurt the flock, Father God, I ask, Lord, that you would cover that with the blood of Jesus. Your word says, Lord, that love covers a multitude of sins. Cover that over, Father God, and strengthen us, Lord God. Heal our hurt. Lord, we even now, Lord God, we give all honour, Lord God, to our pastor to this morning. We give him double honour, Lord God. Bless him as he leads us in the days to come, Father God, that he would know from your throne room exactly what it is that we need to hear, Father God. Bless him mightily. Strengthen him, Father God, and Pastor Matilda too, Father God. All of them, all the pastors, Father God. All the pastors in Perth, Lord. We thank you, Father. Bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to move on to sexual immorality. Thank you, Father. Oh, mighty God. Lord, as we have our hand held high, Father God, Lord, we ask, Father, that you would keep us from that sexual sins, all sexual sins, Father God. Mighty God, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that the spirit of lasciviousness would be bound and loosed, Lord God, from our congregation, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Loosened from your people, Father. Oh, Lord God, even pornography, Father God, in Jesus' name. We renounce pornography. We renounce lasciviousness in Jesus' mighty name. We renounce every sexual immorality, Lord God, every sin of commission and omission, where we have not guarded our hearts, Father God. Lord, forgive us. Heal us, Lord God, and minister. Minister your love and your grace, Father God. Minister your love and your grace, Father. Lord, your word says that sin's done in the body our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Lord God. And Father, where all those things have damaged, Lord God, so the spirit of the marriage, Father God. Oh Lord, I ask. Lord, let your grace rest upon them, Father God. Let your ministering angels come, Father God, and minister to all those areas, Lord God, we're defiled, Lord God. Oh Lord, help us, Father God, to keep morally pure. Help us, Lord God, to guard our hearts and our minds, for out of it come the issues of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Oh, yene matera kashati ora mo koilere ki ora mana na hati ora moila. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we lift up broken promises to you, where we've rashly said vows, Lord God, and not fulfilled them. Father God, where, Lord, you hold us accountable. Lord, your word says that we shouldn't. That you are in heaven and earth is your footstool. And to not, Lord God, make a rash vow, Father God. Because, Lord, that hinders your work in us, Father. Even the broken promises and vows and marriages, Lord God. Lord, we want to clear the rubble, Father God. We want to clear the rubble so that there's nothing that's going to trip us up, Lord God. That's going to that our weak knees and our feeble hands, Lord God, would be strengthened, God. So, Lord, we renounce, Lord God, not fulfilling our vows to you, Father God. We repent, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. We confess that to you, Lord God. Father, I pray that your word says that there is a provision, Lord God. If we just confess that as sin, Lord God. And Father, that you would forgive us. Yes. And Lord God, so we do. We come and we repent, Father God, of every broken vow, every broken promise. Promises that we've made to our children. Promises that we've made to one another. Promises that we've made to you, Father God. Jesus. Lord God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would forgive us, Lord. That you'd break the power of promises over our congregation, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you would minister your love, Lord God, and let that oil of joy fill our hearts, Father God, as you come and wash us, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Restore our souls. Father God, we do. We want to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, Lord God. We want to do the right thing. We want to, Lord, live as have called us to live, as you have designed us to live, Father God. So, Lord, help us to that end in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we might have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world like you, that there is no fear in love, and perfect love drives out all fear, Father God. Lord, I thank you that you will perfect that which you have begun in us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that it's a process. I pray, Father God, that you would maintain our lot and our portion, Father God, as we have gone and started the process, Lord God, of clearing the rubble in our lives, Father God. Lord, that you would help us, that we're co-workers with you to do, Lord, what you have called us to do, and that is to go out into all the world. Preach the good news of the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, you said you would be with us even till the end of the age. So, Father, help us, Father God, to fulfill that commission that you've given us, Lord God. And, Lord, that we would be, Lord, full of the fullness of Christ, Lord God, that we would be, Lord, fitly joined together, Lord, by which every joint supplies, Father God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you in Jesus' name. if you still feel like some prayer up the front, I'd be happy to pray, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people that would be happy to pray. And yeah, maybe if we can have, it's a bit dry and starchy without any music, isn't it? But you know my heart. My heart is that yous are going to be strengthened, that we will not have limp hands and weak knees, that we will have confidence that what we say and do is right in the sight of God. Because people out there need our help. They need our help. So, you know, let's allow that process that God has designed for us to work through all those things and clear away the rubble in our lives so that we can do what he has asked us to do. Let us not be in iniquity anymore where we're going to do it our own way. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, so if you need prayer this morning, you want extra, you know, something's lingering. You can come to the front and Leah and pray. I don't know, I just felt that word was a word of regeneration, a word of washing and regeneration. Amen. Dealing with issues of the soul, of that old man. And God's inoculating his people to move on. Praise the Lord. So if you need prayer, please come to the front, and then Leroy and Dean will come and pray with you. And then...